I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Well, hello there, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett, coming to you live from the IM Studios in the heart of LA. And today we are talking about something that I don't talk about enough. And it's probably the topic that, if you polled people throughout the world, is most synonymous with LA. The movies. And this is an episode I've been meaning to make for a long time, because early in my LA in a Minute career, if you will, I did a little movie episode, but it was 1 minute and can't get into much depth about the entire history about LA movies. So we're going to dive into LA movies, but specifically the list of movies that, to me, define Los Angeles. At least my version of Los Angeles. And I know this is going to be a quote-unquote controversial episode, because there are about 10,000 movies set in LA. Probably more. That's probably a conservative number. And limiting it to 5 is nearly impossible. But it was fun. So I'm going to need your feedback. This is my list, but you tell me what movies I left out, which ones you couldn't believe were in this top 5, and just overall your favorite LA movies. And there's also some pretty damn good history here, not just about these movies, but the history of movies in LA. So stay tuned for that. Though the one number I could not find, and my wife was like, how many movies were shot in LA? That, I challenge anybody to find that. I did my hardcore research. It's thousands, and we're talking shorts, full length. What about movies that were never distributed? So I couldn't find it, but there are literally thousands. So stay tuned for the history, because we have some good nuggets for you. And also, I got to give a shout out to our sponsor, Arto Brick. You know them, manufacturing, fabricating tile and brick by hand from their factory in Gardena, employing dozens of people. They say manufacturing is tough in LA, and it is, but Arto Brick, third generation business, American dream story, run by my man Armin, keeps doing it. And it's not just any brick and tile. This is truly high quality, historic stuff. They renovate and help restore landmarks like Olvera Street, Mariachi Plaza, La Plaza de Cultura y Artes. I work with Vallarta, Ojai Valley Inn. So this is really an LA institution. Support Arto Brick for any of your commercial or residential needs. Always thank you to our great sponsor, Arto Brick. And these are the best movies in Los Angeles, at least to me. I'm excited about this one. These are the 5 films that define my LA. All right, y'all, let's get into it. So, as always, we start with something that happened in LA this week. I was doing research for an upcoming episode on downtown LA. And I stumbled upon something that I'm surprised I don't hear much about. The first movie filmed in Los Angeles. For the city that created pop culture stemming from celebrity and movies, of course, we don't often hear about the origin and the roots. And that's what I'm all about more than anything. It's origin stories here. And you've heard me talk about where movies were actually invented. New Jersey, by none other than Thomas Edison. Yes, that Thomas Edison. And the reason movies actually came to LA, not the weather, at least not initially, though now it's a huge reason. And you've heard me talk about why Hollywood might be leaving LA, but that is a whole different topic. But they came because LA was about as far as aspiring producers and directors could get from Edison and his team of patent attorneys. And because Edison had no intent of making movies, he just wanted to get a cut from everybody else who did. So he sicked his team of attorneys on anybody that was making movies, and he would get a cut and, you know, sue people that were doing it without licensing his technology. But that's not neither here nor there. That's conceptual. You also heard me talk about Edendale, LA's Hollywood before Hollywood, the place that launched the careers of Charlie Chaplin, the Keystone Cops, Fatty Arbuckle, and the original cowboy movie star Tom Mix. But you've heard me talk about all that. But while doing the other research on downtown LA, I came across something pretty damn sweet, and the video's in the Library of Congress. It's awesome. I'm going to post this. It's great. It's the first film footage ever in Los Angeles. Now, it's not the first movie in LA per se. It's a 25-second animated photograph is what it was called. Kind of interesting, those terms, because they didn't have the term movie yet. They weren't talkies. There weren't movies, nothing. And what it was, captured street scenes in downtown LA on Spring Street, and appropriately it was called Spring Street, Los Angeles, Cal, like California. It was filmed on December 31st, 1897 by Frederick Bleckenden for the Edison Manufacturing Company. Now, this one was on Edison's behalf. Again, this is at least a decade before the motion picture industry would establish itself in Edendale. So Edison had his claws, his people out here just filming, not making movies. It was a showcase of his technology, and it wasn't anything to like highlight Los Angeles. And what it was a bustling street scene, pedestrians, horse-drawn carriages, electric trolleys, bicycles. And it's 25 seconds, and it's cool. It's really cool, frankly, but it could be Chicago, could be New York. There's nothing that's like, that's LA. But 1897, so I thought that was interesting. But the first movie I actually saw it in LA, for a long time, people thought it was Cecil B. DeMille's The Squaw Man, which was shot entirely in Hollywood. And for years, for decades, they said, that's it. That's the one that kicked it all off. First movie shot in Hollywood. But there was a discovery of D.W. Griffith, one of his earliest works filmed in 1909 and released in 1910, that was considered the first film shot in Hollywood once they discovered it. And D.W. Griffith was prolific, famous, groundbreaking. Some would say controversial and racist. This is the man who put out The Birth of a Nation. But before all that, he shot a film called The Old California in Hollywood. And that starred Mack Sennett, the man who had found Studio City with Mack Sennett Studios, which, by the way, is now Radford Studios and made its hay as CBS Studios. But that's interesting. Mack Sennett was a lone actor in the first film shot in Hollywood. But that is not the first film shot in Los Angeles. That would be In the Sultan's Power, directed by Francis Boggs and produced by Colonel Selig in 1908 and released in 1909. This is considered to be the first narrative film shot entirely in Los Angeles. It's a silent short film whose plot centers on an American traveler who falls in love with a young French woman, the daughter of an old nobleman, who's captured by a villainous Turkish Sultan. and the protagonist embarks on a daring rescue mission to save her from the Sultan. That is called In the Sultan's Power, and it was filmed mostly in an old mansion on 8th and Olive, which I will be doing an episode on in a minute with Evan Lovett on. Obviously, the mansion's no longer there, but this was the first film shot in L.A., and it's not just important because of that, but Frances Boggs was as responsible as any one person on actually establishing the industry out here. He worked for Selig. And Selig, by the way, was the man who ran Polyscope Studios out of Chicago as movies started gradually going west before they discovered how great the West Coast is for filming. But Boggs established the Polyscope satellite studio in Edendale, now Hollywood, which was the first, actually now Silver Lake, to tell you the truth. But it was the first film studio in L.A., and that helped kickstart the film industry in Southern California. So Frances Boggs, Colonel Selig, Polyscope Studios, first movie, In the Sultan's Power, 1909 it was released. So there you go. That's a brief history of the movies in L.A. Brief history of, but now, it's my history of movies in L.A. with a disclaimer. I don't pretend to be a film buff. There are a ton of movies I have not seen. That's the truth, okay? I am against something of a reluctant pop culture list. I like the culture, the people, not the celebrity side and the movies. I just never been that guy. I know how important it is, and I'm probably missing out on a lot of good stuff. But I have seen a lot of good stuff. So just as a caveat, this is not an unequivocal or authoritative list. I know there's great films that aren't on this list, so this is a discussion. I want to hear from you. What movies I left off? What movies define your L.A.? For instance, my wife would say Clueless. Frankly, that did almost make the list. For goodness sake, it has Circus Liquor, like the most famous liquor store sign in the world, and it's so L.A. But so are movies like L.A. Story, The Player, Training Day, The Graduate, To Live and Die in L.A. All great movies. Not on my list. Blade Runner. Die Hard. Also awesome movies. But not in the genre that really moves me, to be honest. And anything by P.T. Anderson, by the way. Magnolia. I used to live on Magnolia. Boogie Nights. Punch Drunk Love. Licorice Pizza. Fantastic oeuvre. But not in my top five. I will go to bat for PTA as one of the greatest to ever feature LA, and especially the Valley. But it's hard to pick one off that list, so none of those are in my top five. Although he might be the number two LA filmmaker for me. Less Than Zero, LA Confidential, Mulholland Drive, not on the list. They probably deserve to be. But I'm not like artsy enough to really understand. LA Confidential isn't quote unquote artsy. That's just, I need to go back and rewatch that. But that's beside the point because it's not on the list. And neither is La La Land, recent entrant, which I loved. But that opening musical on the freeway rubbed me the wrong way. I'm sorry. I liked the rest of the film and it was great. And for that reason, it's not on the list. So La La Land, not on here. Absolute classics about LA. Day of the Locust, The Big Sleep, Exiles, Killer of Sheep. Not on the list. But the respected film heads I know always bring them up. And I have not seen one of those classics. I never got into the classic film. I'm sorry. So that's just how it is. So maybe one day I will. But now, we're going to talk about the top five movies I did see. The top five films that define my L.A. So the first one is The Toughest Cut. This is actually an honorable mention for me. It's Swingers. 1996, directed by Doug Liman, Jon Favreau, Vince Vaughn, Ron Livingston, Heather Graham. Talk about a launcher of careers. Indie comedy. I remember feeling this one so hard. Anybody who grew up in the 90s gets it. It talks about swing. I wasn't necessarily into that scene, but it's legit. And it's more about relationships. Vegas, baby, Vegas. Dating, the travails of dating at the time, before apps, before the internet. This is like a moment in LA culture. And the cool thing is, this was a shoestring budget, $200,000, less than 3 weeks. And You see any stories on it? It was like shot without permits, total guerrilla style. So it's raw. It feels authentic and it feels like Los Angeles. Very, very cool. The answering machine sequence is hilarious, where Favreau leaves increasingly desperate messages for the girl that he just met. Of course, Vegas, the Derby. I mean, this was a really, really, really good movie. And it's an honest depiction of like aspiring actors in Hollywood. What kind of car you drive? The lady turns her back. So this was a touchstone for a generation, especially those of us that grew up in LA. You're so money. And like, again, Vegas, baby, Vegas. So that is my toughest omission and my honorable mention, Swingers.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
So the list. Number 5. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Now, this is like commonly regarded as one of the best films of all time. And it's crazy because the water wars aren't talked about enough. The California water wars. And we don't need to get into that. LA stole the water from the Owens Valley. And that's the truth. And it's depicted in this film. It's not historically, quote unquote, accurate, but it gets into the crux and the corruption and the power struggles on how LA became a city. Because LA River only has enough water for 100,000 people. Now we got 10 million. We had to go get it, and we had to essentially do it through deception and trickery. William Mulholland, Frederick Eaton, Moses Sherman, Harrison Gray Otis, Harry Chandler, the greatest names in L.A. were behind the reason. L.A. Aqueduct, the water slide, if you will, at the top of the valley. This gets into that. Not into those details, not with those names. But directed by Roman Polanski, it is a tense film. Uneasy. Menacing. And I mean, Jack Nicholson, I don't even want to say his prime because he had like a 30-year prime, but young Jack Nicholson just crushing it. It portrayal of LA's urban development, the political corruption, and just the complexity of the characters and the recreation of 30s LA. This is a really cool movie. And the thing is, since it's a period piece, it applies. You can watch it today and you're like, yo, you feel it. So it's beautiful. It's brilliant. And it's my number five film that defines LA. Number four. And this is directed by the guy who, above P.T. Anderson, would be my number one L.A. director. Of course, I'm talking about Michael Mann. And the movie is Heat. Now, this is probably my favorite movie period for like 20 years. I don't know. It still might be, to be honest with you. Reason it's not higher on this list is because, though it is so L.A., it's just... It's about the bank, the robbery, the heists, based on Mann's like or based on a TV movie called LA Takedown that Mann developed into a movie. But man, the fact that it foreshadowed the North Hollywood bank shooting, which was eerily similar to this, that shootout scene is so gritty, so real, feels like you're there. De Niro, Pacino, Val Kilmer, John Voight, Tom Sizemore, Ashley Judd, powerhouse of a movie. The coffee shop scene between Pacino and De Niro. The confrontation at LAX. The Vincent Thomas Bridge. I think he says the St. Vincent Bridge, if I'm not mistaken, the movie, down at the port. I mean, this is good. Cops and robbers, the bad side of the cops, the good side of the robbers, the affluent neighborhoods, the gritty neighborhoods. This is one of the greatest movies ever made and one of my favorite films. And I'm a positive guy, and it's not necessarily a positive movie. That's the only reason it's not higher. But damn, Heat is awesome. And an absolutely incredible movie about Los Angeles, and definitely a movie that defines LA. Number four, Blood In, Blood Out. Very, very moving film that still today has a lot of rep and a lot of depth and a lot of importance. And El Pino, by the way, in East LA, The Tree, which is about to be an episode of LA in a minute. But man, San Quentin, drug addiction, death, family drama, a narrative of friggin' Chicano culture, right? Latinos in Los Angeles. This is a Mexican city. Let's make no mistake about it. And I'm surprised that there have not been more films made about this narrative and about that history. But this is a sprawling movie that covers just the family dynamics, loyalty, cultural identity, gang culture, prison life, Chicano art. I mean, this is like a cult classic. Very, very influential movie. It's graphic. It's at times hard to watch. But it is a damn good movie. Directed by Taylor Hackford. It's also known as Bound by Honor, by the way. I should bring that up. Jeez, that's important. Damian Chapa, Benjamin Bratt, Jesse Borrego. I mean, this was like... is probably more relevant now than it was when it was released in 1993. So, I mean, this is a really, really, really cool movie and a good history and a good story about a part of LA that we don't see portrayed in film too often. So I think that it's pretty, pretty incredible and very, very important throughout Los Angeles. And another one, roughly the same era, showing another part of LA and another cultural lodestone that honestly moved me even as a kid, was Boys in the Hood. And this begat a whole genre of quote-unquote gangsta movies and even gangsta rap. And again, shining a light on a part of LA and a part of the world that there hadn't been a lot of pop culture coverage to up at that point. John Singleton directed, Cuba Gooding Jr., Ice Cube, Lawrence Fishburne, Nia Long. I mean, dude, race, violence, socioeconomic challenges, very gritty, realistic look at life in South Central. And this is, I believe it's predating the uprising in 92, but this was definitely during the peak of when gangs were dominating Los Angeles, homicides were up. Daryl Gates in charge. I mean, this was a unflinching look at Los Angeles, and it's audacious and it's authentic, real gang members. There was community outreach to establish that, Bloods, Crips, all that. The drive-by scene, Trey and Furious and the father-son relationship, the monologue about gentrification, black-on-black violence, Doughboy. I mean, this is good, man. And Ice Cube kind of launched his foray from rap into acting, and I know he still raps, but he was good, man. And Cuba Gooding Jr. was good. But it's all about Lawrence Fishburne for me. This one was touching. It was moving. It's hard to watch at times, but it's a great movie. And that is my number two film that defines L.A. So back to back, you got Heat, Blood In, Blood Out, and Boys in the Hood. Now that's some pretty serious topic, but very serious representations of L.A., which leads up to my number one. I told you I try to keep it positive, right? So number one movie to me that defines L.A., none other than The Big Lebowski. The Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen, Jeff Bridges as the dude, John Goodman and Steve Buscemi with incredible chemistry, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Julianne Moore, who I had a wild crush on after seeing that. I probably reference this movie, not just because of comedy and, I mean, great writing and bowling alley, but bungalows, crazy story. But I reference this movie, and this is the reason why this defines LA to me. I bring it up most often in the context of New York. Why? Because I always bring up this example. I love New York, by the way. But I go to New York for 3 days, I'm ready to leave. And it's a me issue. It's nothing wrong with the city. City's incredible and amazing. But you got to be on all the time. You got to be intense all the time. New York City, even still, you're on your cell phone like we always walk around looking down our cell phone. Somebody's going to bump you. You're in somebody's way. You're going to get hit by a car. LA, you don't even have people on the sidewalks. You don't even need to look up for 20 blocks. Like, and again, that's a silly example, but that's LA. And the reason why Big Lebowski fits into that paradigm, because the dude couldn't survive anywhere else except LA. This is Jeff Bridges, the dude in a bathrobe, in flip flops or thongs at the time they were called, going to the store, writing a check for like $2. And I don't know, I don't want to call him a loser, but is he employed? What does he do? He's 40 plus years old, but he's living in a sweet little bungalow on the West Side. And like, you know what? That character can exist in Los Angeles. Definitely not New York or other major cities. And it's kind of the idiosyncratic nature of LA. And what do the Coen brothers do besides focus on idiosyncrasies better than anybody else and building those characters that are so weird, but yet oddly realistic? What a good movie. I mean, I'm not even into like dream sequence musicals, but they just work so well in the movie. Somehow Sam Elliott as a cowboy works in the context of the movie. Just so much good filmmaking that is unexpected and eccentric and endlessly quotable. Venice to Hollywood, film noir, stoner comedy. I mean, this incorporates everything, and that is Los Angeles. And the Big Lebowski, well, not the Big Lebowski, but the dude probably represents that LA archetype better than anybody. And again, can only exist in Los Angeles and probably does in multitudes. So that to me is the number one film that defines LA. So now I want to hear your films. What did I miss? What are the ones that make you be like, yeah, that's LA, that's the one? Again, Training Day kind of comes to mind, but again, like, there's a lot that I mentioned is kind of honorable mentions, but those are my top five. So send me a DM, comment on the post, just let me know what up you think your top five are. But before we go, I got to give you my one thing to do in LA this week, and this is good. This is go see a movie, another movie. that might be my actual favorite all-time movie about Los Angeles. But it isn't like a film in the traditional sense. You're going to need to dig a little bit to go find this. This is a documentary slash cultural narrative. It's called Los Angeles Plays Itself. Shout out to my boy Tim Schafe for putting me onto this because it's something I never, ever would have stumbled upon. It's directed by Tom Anderson of Cal Arts. And it's a comprehensive examination of how LA has been portrayed in movies over the decades. Architectural landmarks, neighborhoods, cultural identity as seen through the lens of Hollywood productions. What it is like a pastiche of movie segments back to back to back. Not a narrative of the movie, but it's like, yo, we're talking about downtown Los Angeles. Look at these old films with Bunker Hill and now Angel's Flight. And then you see films where downtown is deserted and there is no more Bunker Hill or whatever neighborhoods. LA is portrayed positively, negatively, apocalyptic Los Angeles, idyllic Los Angeles. And he kind of, I mean, we're talking, again, going back to the time of In the Sultan's Power to films that were released when LA Plays Itself come out. We're almost a century. Swordfish, for goodness sake, is referenced. And the thing is, Anderson himself narrates this, but it's not like a narration. Then we have this, and then you see this. But he has like this detached, dry delivery, and it just works for the way that he patches these segments together. And essentially, I don't even want to call it a critique, but he draws out how filmmakers have represented or misrepresented Los Angeles throughout a century of filmmaking. Common stereotypes, misconceptions about LA perpetuated by the film industry. And that's something that really gets me riled up because, again, it references all the time the Memo Torres meme. The real LA is not Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, and Hollywood. It's a very important and integral part of LA, but films have done a lot to prop that up, and that's what people think about LA. So what have movies done to tear that down? Or to tear that up? That's what Anderson covers. I mean, entertaining, educational, insightful. And have your pen ready or your note app, because you're going to be exposed to movies from blockbuster to obscure that you're going to want to watch or rewatch, and you're going to have a checklist after that. And it's such a good perspective on LA's architecture, the urban development as seen through movies, which contrast with the actual reality, especially Hollywood's reality. So, I mean, this is nothing short than brilliant. It's deep. It's, again, talks about the complexity of LA, the portrayals of race, class, urban politics, good and bad. This is an educational experience, but it's a fun experience. So where can you watch it? I believe you could get it on Amazon Prime or Apple TV, but it lives on what's called the Criterion Channel, and that's where I ended up watching it. Hopefully, I just Googled it. You could get it on Apple TV and Prime, but that's not always super accurate, but you will find it. It's called Los Angeles Plays Itself. The film is nothing short of genius, and though I wouldn't call it a love letter to Los Angeles, this is an integral experience for anybody interested in film, LA, history, or the portrayal of LA throughout film history. Thank you, Tom Anderson, for putting this together. LA Plays Itself, because that is brilliant. And that puts a cap on my top five films that define LA and your one thing to do in LA this week. So thank you for listening to this week's episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett. Some people say their life is a movie. Other people just watch movies and talk about it. And I talk about them on occasion. So if you enjoy hearing me talk about movies or anything else, please hit that 5-star rating on whatever platform you use. If you're really enjoying the show, leave a review because it is super helpful to us. It continues to power the show to new heights. And look, this is the truth. This is only possible because of you. So I'm very, very thankful for you listening. I know you have infinite options of things to watch and to listen to. So it means a lot that you invest your time here on In a Minute with Evan Lovett. So I appreciate you, and please keep on listening and have an awesome week ahead. All right, y'all. It's been a minute.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.